Welcome to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast with Caroline Blair and no Chris Patterson this week, but we are joined by Scotland Women's Captain Rachel Malcolm. Great to have you in the hot seat.
Yeah, no, great to be back on the pod after a wee while off.
I always like a wee reunion with you. It feels exactly like that, doesn't
I know.
It? But you've been so busy.
Yes, it's been, yeah, this year's been kind of crazy actually, just with the kind of increasing number of games with Scotland, the increasing number of camps, but also with the PWR, it's just felt like literally nonstop. But it's been very, very exciting and very cool.
It's looked that way as well, actually. Have you felt the step up in that? Because you're just going through the motions as Rachel Malcolm does, but there is a schedule. It's busy.
Yeah, no, definitely felt the step up, I think, in terms of like the amount of minutes that we're kind of being exposed to now compared to maybe a couple seasons ago. But I think it's probably showing in terms of like how conditioned we are as a squad that we're kind of more or less the same squad for a tournament, which is really pleasing. So, but it's definitely feeling game five in the tournament and game whatever number of the season. But no, super excited, very excited for this weekend in particular. It's always, very exciting game in Ireland, game against Ireland. Like, yeah, it's a pretty cool way to finish.
Before we go into that, it feels like a natural segue to chat about that. A lot of the conversations that we've had during this Guinness Women's Six Nations on the podcast has been around the fact that the Celtic Challenge has made a huge difference in terms of the entry point, the base point that the rest of the squad's coming in at. And I guess the expectations then from Brian as head coach and from the rest of the coaching department is that let's hit the ground running and let's move on. Has that been the case?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, like I say, a couple of seasons ago, we would have had to use those 3 weeks prior to the tournament to kind of get up to test match intensity. But I think with the standard of the PWR and, as you say, the addition of the Celtic Challenge, which was obviously a brilliant success this season, it meant that everyone came in at that kind of more or less conditioned level. So you can really focus on more of the finer details, which I think you've started to see in the way we're playing, which is really exciting. But I think also it's given us that strength and depth to also train at better intensity when we are in camp. You know, the girls like Merin and Alex and Nicole and all these people that have come through that Celtic Challenge programme, them being in this environment and slotting in pretty seamlessly has allowed us to have more numbers at training of a better level and us to kind of train against kind of like-for-like competition. So I think, yeah, it's definitely made a big difference in terms of what we can cover, but also the intensity at which we can do it.
And we saw that very much on display in Parma. I mean, yeah. how are we feeling after that game? And how were you feeling before you went into that game, actually?
Yeah, like, how I'm feeling after it. It was not one of my most enjoyed games with a thistle on my chest, I will say. That's a really bad English. Not one of my favourite games for Scotland, in the sense of it was so disjointed. It was really stop-start. There was a lot of stoppages, not like major stoppages, but a lot. It wasn't very like we wanted to play at a high tempo and we wanted to like really get into the game, but it did feel quite like stuttery. I think we had the potential and we definitely had the opportunities. I think we had, I can't remember how many, but something like 18 goal zone entries. We did not convert well enough. We weren't accurate enough. And I think like it was a weird feeling at full time because it's a massive stepping stone for us in terms of to get that first win away in Italy. And don't get me wrong, playing Italy is, they've always been our bogey team because they're so difficult to play against. But we felt frustrated a little bit at the end because we didn't feel we'd put out a performance that we expected ourselves to. So I think we'd prepared really well. We were really positive in terms of the way we'd bounced back post-England. But the performance was a wee bit disjointed. It was like parts of it were way better. The line out, for example, like functioned way, way better than what we'd seen in previous games. But something wasn't quite there. So that's the challenge this week, is we've got one last opportunity as a squad in this tournament. How can we come out of that both with a result that we're proud of, but also with a performance that we can be proud of as well?
What a great problem to have to come away from a win in Parma, and not just a win in Parma, a historic win in Italy against a tough Italian opposition who, as you've rightly recognised, you're playing tennis in that 6 and 7 spot, mm-hmm. in the rugby world rugby rankings, and to come away from that feeling frustrated knowing that it's not the result maybe that you feel you should have had, but then looking at that a couple of seasons ago, that wouldn't have been a win.
No, I absolutely wouldn't have been. And I think like that's when you take a step back and you have a wee bit of perspective on it, then you can see that. And I think that is important for us. But I think what's pretty cool about this squad is that we've got girls in this squad who've barely lost for Scotland. We've got girls who have only known this environment and this professional level of how we do things. So I think, you know, having a number of players who've maybe not experienced those times of old where losing was a bit of a habit and grinding out the occasional win was this euphoric moment, has actually driven all of us to kind of be like, no, that's not good enough and we're better than that. And I think we're better at the weekend. We were better than a 7-point game. We could have put that game away much earlier, I think. But credit to Italy, like, it's so difficult to play against a team who want to throw the ball around as much as they do, because you kind of fall into the trap of trying to do it yourself. And as a result, we probably aren't as fine-tuned as they are at offloading out the back and doing stuff like that. So there's a few bits there that we've definitely tightened up on this week. But no, like, it does show where we're at. And I think what's, like, I guess for me as a captain, is the most pleasing thing is that we are driving to push those top five teams. We want to be in the top five in the world, and that's where we see ourselves going. So I think to come out of that performance and, yes, be happy, and yes, it is an incredible milestone in terms of that historic win, but knowing that it's not where we want to be in terms of performance is pretty cool.
What a great point, the fact that there are so many members of the squad that don't really know Scotland losing.
What we went through.
Yeah. For that for you must be immeasurably, you know, satisfying. And your speeches, Rachel, as captain, are always phenomenal. They're very personal, and they're very poignant, and they really, you can see the impact that they have on the person who's receiving, on the receiving end of it. How do you as a captain prepare those speeches? What kind of process do you go through?
If I'm honest, I don't prepare them. I think, like, one of, like, my biggest values as a captain is relationships. You know, I think to lead a team, you have to have trust from everyone within it, and you have to understand them as a person, what they value, what's going to set them off in a good way, what's going to set them off in a bad way. So I kind of pride myself on making sure I have that with everyone on my team. So I think that allows me to have those kind of personable exchanges in terms of those precious moments. And I think I know how much these journeys mean to different people for different reasons. And I think that allows me to maybe touch on that in those moments. And yeah, I think as for me, like, I've prepared speeches in the past, and like, I don't really like doing it because it starts to not maybe feel like that relationship is being just like done justice.
It sounds so cliche, but you literally do speak from the heart. You base it on the relationship that you have with that player, which is really interesting to watch, because that applies to the new caps as well, the uncapped players. When we've seen you deliver in those speeches, it's as personal to them as it is to the like Rona, who's, you've spent what, 46 caps for you?
Yeah.
Actually, that's a good point. You have 44 test starts for you out of 46 caps, which, by the way, is a staggering statistic. I wonder who'll be doing your speech.
I don't need a speech.
No.
I think, yeah, like, it's like, and I feel very, like, I guess, honoured that I get to share those moments with people on my team. I think it's one of the coolest things about, you know, it's not always necessarily isn't always me, but like to quite often, you know, present someone's first shirt, present someone's first cap, their 50th, whatever it might be, and have an understanding of what that means to them is a truly, like, special thing, and something that I get to share with people who are truly special in my life. So it's not something I take lightly. So when I say I don't prepare, it's not that I don't kind of think it's probably one of the best parts of my job. But I think, like you say, I always like to be very true and honest in how I speak, and from the heart, like you say, and wear my heart on my sleeve to some extent, to a fault at times.
It is a family environment that you have in the Scotland women's setup. Mm. And we were all deeply saddened to hear of the loss of Emma Wassell's mother just before the England game. The most important question at this point is, how's she doing?
Emma's obviously, it's like an absolute tragedy for Emma and her brother in particular. But I think the way she has dealt with this last couple of weeks would make her mum immensely proud. She's obviously had a huge amount to deal with away from here, in terms of, obviously, as you do with the passing of a family member. but the way she's still been here for this team is testament to the person she is. You know, she was in and around the squad last week to help us prepare for the game, although she wasn't able to travel with us, and this week has been in, and she's trained phenomenally well. She's led phenomenally well. That's just Emma. She's an incredible human being. She's ready to go and do her mum proud at the weekend, which makes me super proud as a friend as well.
Well, we extend our deepest condolences to Emma, of course, and we will look forward to seeing her run out at the Kingspan Stadium. And looking ahead to that game then, that build up to that final game, how is the process going there?
Yeah, it's been a really and pretty incredible championship in terms of like the intensity we've managed to maintain throughout it in terms of on-pitch performances, training performances. And this week's not really been too much different. We have one less training day this week just because of the volume of training we've done. So today was our main training day, but it did mean that it was pretty jam-packed.
I feel like you might be sugarcoating that slightly.
No, it actually wasn't too bad.
It wasn't a red day, was it?
There was little bits of red, but it was okay. No, they kind of were like, no, there'll only be a little bit of live contact, but the rest of it was like 1,000 miles an hour. So I was like, yeah, okay.
Pace, yeah. Not power, but that's still it. A lot of pace.
Actually probably one of our, the energy was like through the roof, which was pretty cool because we'd had an extra day off, which we've not had for a very long time. And I think also just that mindset around this is actually our last training session of this entire championship. And my fear at the start of it was that we were so energetic that our focus might not follow up. But I was stupid to think that because that's kind of what this team hangs their hat on. So yeah, no, pretty good day of training. Everyone's just absolutely like chomping at the bit to get stuck in at the weekend. So yeah, feeling a good place.
I love it when any time you speak to Brian Eason about, you know, I hear him at many an event where someone will ask him a question about what's the difference between coaching men, coaching women. Well, before you can even get the question out, it's like noise.
Yeah.
volume.
We're a really, really loud group. But it's what I quite like about this group in particular is like, although like not everyone is extrovert, and I certainly am, the kind of culture that we've built and like the way that we kind of carry ourselves in that, it's not very much like you've got one or two people that are sticking out and really, really loud. It is everyone involved in it to some extent. And I think that's really nice. Like we've got loads of like songs that we always sing and like everyone gets involved in that. And it's just, it's been the loud thing is funny to everyone else, but to us, it's just the norm. And like, it is very much like a way that we bring ourselves together but also get our energy to where we know it needs to be. And yeah, like by the end of a week in camp you are kind of like, I needed like 5 minutes in a dark room with no one talking to me and no one playing music.
But like you say, that's what it takes to get that literally that energy to where it needs to be.
Well, like you're, you know, running your body into brick wall for the last 8 weeks and before that at club as well. So it does get to this point in the campaign where you are tired, you are going to sessions tired, you are going into games tired to some extent. And it's like finding how to flick that switch. And for us, it's feeling supported by each other, feeling together on and off the pitch. And like a big part of that for us is being loud, enjoying each other's company, and generally singing terribly.
Oh, do you know, I've thought about this long and hard. I feel that I need to speak to the marketing department at Scottish Rugby at some point just to chat about the idea of doing an album, you know, a playlist, a Scotland women's album. I feel that a good charity collaboration there because the playlist.
We've got some good songwriters. Like,
you've got a great playlist.
Yeah, so like, I can't remember who started the trend off, but we like started doing a song for like each player that reaches 50 caps, like a personalised song. It was a bit of an issue this week because Rona is generally our chief songwriter and ukulele player. So Molly Wright and Louise McMillan stepped up and we actually did all right with
her. They gave it a go?
Yeah, they did really well. But no, like it's good fun and it's also just a way, like, and I used to be terrible at like not really being able to switch off. I kind of thought that's what I needed to do. I needed to constantly be on rugby and stuff like that. But actually, I found the longer I've been in this environment in particular, the more I switch off away from rugby, the better I tend to play. And I think doing things like writing and practicing a song, you know, in your downtime in the evenings is such a nice way to kind of get closer to your teammates, spend time with them, and also take your mind off rugby.
Disconnect from the physical side of the game and go right into the social aspect. Yeah. I guess then, I'm wondering what you'll be singing on the way to Kingspan at the weekend. What's
do you know, we were actually singing in the change room today, we had Kate Nash Foundations playing. We haven't had that one on for a while, and we're saying that would be quite a good bus song. We listen to like a lot of Scottish music, Tideline, Skipnish, like all of the usual, proper Scottish music. Cammy Barnes, obviously, we love him. And then things that bits and bobs like that. So
this album's happening, Rachel. I'm telling you now.
I definitely will not be a lead part in any aspect of it, but I'm a good backing singer, very quiet one.
Well, I suppose then, looking at the potentially greater threat to some degree that Ireland might pose after their result, is that something you're expecting from them?
Yeah, like they, similar to us, like they're a fiercely proud nation, and they are a much more physical outfit than maybe Italy are. They like play quite a different style to Italy, and I think we have been on the other end of those results against England, and
theirs was 88-10, wasn't
it? Yes, a tough day. We similarly had a tough day a couple of weeks ago, and the first thing you want to do is bounce back, and you want to go out and, particularly for them, finish the tournament on a high. So, you know, we know that they pose a threat. We saw that how well they played against Wales previous to that. So, I think it's going to be a super physical contest for sure. That's always the way they like to play. They've got some pretty abrasive ball carriers and some pretty fast back three players as well. So we're very aware of their threats, but I think our kind of mantra throughout this whole Six Nations has been about focusing on ourselves and focusing on our performance and focusing on what we can control. So I think that's, and nothing changes just because it's the final game and whatever else rides on it. Like, we've just had that mindset around being relentless about what we want to achieve and not getting bored of doing that, because it's worked for us to some extent so far. It's kind of peaked and troughed at times, but we equally want to finish strong and come out with a result.
One change that will be there is that we won't have, you know, the back three's broken up in the form of Chloe Rowley won't be there as a result of her upgraded red card against Italy. So she'll be missing Scotland's match against Ireland. But then, of course, Loughborough Lightning with yourselves, be Gloucester and Harlequins.
Yes, that's
but
correct.
Then she'll be back. So looking to Scotland's preparations for this week then, in terms of the squad and in terms of the team that's going out, what can we be excited about there?
Yeah, I think it's obviously disappointing not to have a player of Chloe's calibre within the squad. And it's unfortunately part and parcel of the game. And I think it's been super pleasing this week just to see, with those changes happening and Meryl coming in at 15 where she started the tournament, just how seamless that was. It shows kind of where we're at as a squad. There's, you know, seasons gone past that if that had happened, it would have probably derailed us to some extent, whereas actually it just changes the way we want to play. You know, Meryl's quite a different player to Chloe, and we can then adapt to how Meryl plays the game. And I think how we want to play this week actually probably lends itself to that as well. You know, she's very confident player in terms of whether she's at 10, 12 or 15. So she definitely
she just goes after it, doesn't she?
She does, exactly. So she reads the game and picks her moments in terms of carrying the ball really well, but she's also someone who steps up at first receive an awful lot. You know, the try she put Corrine away for against Wales was just textbook Meryl. Like, she's under pressure and she gets that ball away and puts someone in space, which is what we want from her this weekend as well. So yeah, like, it's obviously disappointing not to have Chloe in amongst the squad for the final game, but I think you know, we'll see Mez shine, I'm sure, at 15, and also probably opportunities off the bench for some first caps as well. So it's just something we've got to take in our stride, and I've no doubt that you know, the girls that are in the 23 will do the job the weekend.
And an exciting way to round off the Guinness Six Nations against Ireland. And actually, just a wee side plug, you know, that we had a great wee chat with Meryl a few weeks back, so make sure you log on to that one. Have a listen to that podcast. But it's an exciting time for the squad. And as you've mentioned, there are so many new faces coming through too. So just, I guess, before we move on to other elements of the game later on this year, from the beginning of this campaign, Rachel, to where we are now, that squad environment, we've talked about the on-field, the training aspect, everybody being at standard, etc. In terms of what you've learned about yourselves as a squad, where are we at going into this last game?
I think, like, sticking to game plan and focusing on ourselves has become a little bit of a recipe for success, as boring as it is. I think we got into a little bit of a habit, probably not so much the last year, but years previously, where we were punching above our weight. And as a captain, I very much had to draw on like the emotional pull and like the whole Braveheart side of things in terms of, you know, Scotland and whatever else. And I think that sometimes took the focus away from like what we wanted to achieve from like an actual rugby point of view. And like, don't get me wrong, rugby is an emotional game. We are a very emotional team. But sometimes drawing on that too much wasn't working for us. So I think...
Or is it that it's needed less now?
I think it's probably needed less, yeah. So I think now the belief is there. We know the teams that we can challenge. We know how to play it against different teams. And we have also got the depth in terms of the players that we can rotate versus who, like, depending on who we're playing and how and all those things. So I think... focusing on the rugby, focusing on like the game plan and ourselves, rather than getting so bogged down about who the opposition was and how we were going to gee ourselves up to play them has been a real recipe for success. But I also just think like this team thrives when they're happy, and we're generally happy when we've spent time together and we've had nice downtime away from the pitch as well. And I think our social team is a huge part of that. Like they take their socials very seriously.
So there is actually an established...
Oh gosh, yeah. So
who's on it?
Louise McMillan is kind of, I would say, probably the leader of the social team. Rachel McLachlan, Anne Young, Matt Banahan, and Ellen Dixon.
Honorary member from the coaching. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
So two management members as well.
Yeah, I like that.
And they take it very seriously. But I do, like, and I am someone who hates force fun. And, like, put my hands up, I'm terrible. Like, I'm a bit of a Scrooge when it comes to force fun. But every single time I absolutely love it. You know, they've come up with a new way to, like, the things they come up with, I can't even, like, I don't know how they do it. It's incredible. So like, yeah, they're a massive part of like what's probably brought us together. I think like what we have unique in this group is that, you know, there's obviously friendships within it and people who you're closer to, but I think everyone has a relationship with everyone and everyone hangs out with anyone, like whoever's in the team room at the time. And that's what makes it such a nice place to be. You know, we all talk about how much we love being here, and I think we're already dreading the blues that are going to come next week. But yeah, I think those are probably the key in terms of on the pitch, but also that's a massive thing off the pitch as well.
Those blues will be short-lived because we'll be getting the band back together later on in the year with the WXV Championship. What great fun as well to look forward to that from a fan's perspective. More rugby, which is an amazing showcase on the global stage, hugely important. And for yourselves too, to have another tournament, a major tournament to look ahead to, having especially won WXV2 last year and with real contention to be in WXV1 if you finish inside, as you currently sit on the top of the Guinness Women's Six Nations table.
Yeah, like I think we're not necessarily looking too far ahead in terms of which competition we'll be in, because I think as soon as we start to do that, like I say, we won't be focused on the performance that we need to put in. So yes, like we have the ability to go to either one or two, but I think ultimately, like you say, it's just a brilliant opportunity. I think most people in this squad would probably say WXV last year was their favorite rugby experience. I'd arguably say it was one of the best months of my life. Like, it was just an incredible tournament, an incredible opportunity, a really nice time of year as well, just to kick off the season. And I think the opportunity also to play different nations to maybe the ones that we're used to playing year in, year out in the Six Nations. So yeah, it's super exciting. And yeah, like you say, pre-season's just getting shorter and shorter every season at the minute. Off-season is getting shorter and shorter every year now, which my old body is hating. But no, it's good fun and we can't wait to get back together.
And long may it continue. We thoroughly enjoy watching you. In terms of movements, comings and goings, we've had the news this week that Fraser Brown has announced his retirement from rugby at the end of the current season. He's doing so with 141 run outs for Glasgow Warriors and 61 appearances for Scotland. What are your thoughts on his retirement and his announcement?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a massive loss to the Scottish game, for someone that's been, you know, an absolute standout at club and in country, and for country, sorry. And to play that number of games in the front row is phenomenal. You know, I'm a Glasgow born and bred and a Warriors fan forever. So I've watched him obviously a lot, and my wee brother obviously played alongside him at times at the Warriors, and I think to some extent was probably mentored by him as well. So you know, a massive loss, but I'm sure we'll still see his input in the Scottish game to some extent. You know, he's obviously been involved in the Celtic Challenge in terms of coaching, so you know, a massive loss on the pitch, but hopefully someone that's going to continue to kind of help produce great players for Scotland going forward.
I have a feeling that his influence will, as you say, continue to reverberate around Scottish rugby for many years to come, and we wish him very, very well with his retirement too, when that time does indeed come. And I guess then the final word to you, Rachel, as captain of Scotland Women, your message to the fans that have followed the Scotland Women's journey during this Guinness Women's Six Nations, both at Hive Stadium, on the road and in front of the telly. What are your thoughts on
that? I think, you know, probably make me emotional talking about it, but I think the way that we've been supported this Six Nations has been like just beyond our wildest imagination in terms of the number of people. I don't think we thought for a second that we would sell out a stadium this season, didn't realise that was even on the cards. And I think that experience was an absolute highlight. Obviously the result didn't go our way that day, but the way in which we were welcomed by the fans, but also the way in which they embraced us after the game and you know, picked us up in what was quite a dark time is why we want to play for Scotland. We want to make them proud, and I think that's a massive part of why, you know, we refocused so well last week going into Italy, because we knew we wanted to go and put in a better performance to make them proud. So I can't thank them enough for how well they've supported us, and I can't tell you how much that means to us as well. But we have one more game, and we need as much support as we can get, both in Ireland or back home or whatever it might be. And we promise that we will do everything in our power to make you proud.
We have no doubt in our minds that that will be the case. Rachel Malcolm, thank you as always, and we wish you all the very best for that game. So to round five then of the Guinness Women's Six Nations, this Saturday, 27th of April, Scotland take on Ireland at Kingspan Stadium, that with the 2:30 kickoff. Live coverage can be found on the BBC, and of course, as always, you can keep up to date with the latest news and content via scottishrugby.org or via Scottish Rugby's social media channels.